Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Overcoming Addiction: Hope with Prevention, Intervention, and Treatment with Dr. Joe Terhar. On today's program, we will explore the concepts behind prevention, intervention, and treatment, as well as recovery options and innovations. Our program is a forum of factual research, personal experiences, and knowledgeable opinions. Now, here is your host, Dr. Joe Terhar.
Good morning. It is my distinct pleasure to have you all together with me today and to be with you. Welcome to the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. As you know, I have been very fortunate and blessed to work in addiction prevention, intervention, and treatment since 1978, having many experiences, learning from many people along the way. I'm here to share with you what I have learned from you and your experience, and we together share in overcoming addiction with the hope of prevention, intervention, and treatment. Thank you, of course, to Las Vegas Recovery, our major sponsor. They are, in my view, the national leader in addiction and chronic pain. I've been heralding for you, chronicling the process of a gal that I referred there. They helped her get off those opioids and then helped her transition into sober living. We hope the very best for her. But boy, the critical role that Las Vegas Recovery played for this person after years and years of multiple treatment experiences and no one ever getting her opioid free. Well, you really can't be in a full recovery when you're experiencing the euphoria of opioids. So thanks to Las Vegas Recovery. Hey, remember to Facebook us. Like us on Facebook. Of course, the best factoid question or point of the day from a call-in listener or someone emailing, I will give you a free copy of The Neurobiology of Addiction, Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit. It's worth $185. So our call-in number, of course, is 866-472-5792. The email is drjoeradio@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you, especially today. I love to hear from our listeners all the time. You know that. But today, I think it's even more than usual. So I'm leaving suspense for one more second. Speaking of that DVD, The Neurobiology of Addiction, yes, what it does is it shows you and your clients and families the neurobiological trap in very easy but extremely accurate manner. So you can see it, you can understand it. And this helps drug users really understand what has happened to his or her emotions, their attitudes, and their behaviors. They can see the explanation. I was working with a gentleman last night, and he and I were differentiating what his personality is like now. And he was saying, you know, this is what I used to be like before I started using the drugs. Yeah. Because the drugs affect you neurochemically. Just a testimonial, Harvey Brown in Boynton Beach, Florida. He spoke about how incredibly helpful the DVD on the neurobiology of addiction was because it walks through how to delineate drug abuse from drug addiction, which is, of course, extremely important because if you're abusing the drug, then you can utilize better information and better decision-making. If you have an addiction, well, the outcome is death, incarceration, disability, or a lasting recovery with sobriety, all or none. It's fantastic to get to connect with people across the country. And of course, we connected with Billy Kane in the United Kingdom about a month ago. We get to connect across the world and communicate our views, our thoughts. The digital era is just incredible. We transmit across the world. My laptop, you know, enables me to connect with you right now, inform you, and to get information from you. This is so different than how it was when I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. We have so much more communication capacity with the digital era and the digital technology. Is there a downside? Well, yeah. What about this concept? Internet addiction. Can people become addicted to the internet? And my phrase, is it real? Is it virtual? Or is it a myth? Well, many people don't believe that you can be addicted to anything but drugs. But there are some people who actually lose their families, their jobs, their ability to function, become extremely depressed. Our special guest today is Hillary Cash, PhD, who has such a level of expertise and commitment to helping people survive internet addiction. She started and operates Restart, which is a very successful internet addiction treatment center. Listen and find out how to identify and what happens and how do we help. Dr. Hillary Start is co-founder of Restart. To my knowledge, and I'm sure she's going to validate this, the first program for adults who have technology use issues. She began pioneering this work in the 1990s and then founded a company, a treatment center in 99. And now, as I say, works and operates Restart. She's co-authored a book, Video Games and Your Kids, How Parents Stay in Control. Boy, is not that just the exact thing that we need? Because of her moving forward and helping the entire world gain greater awareness of this, she's been a guest on everything. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, NPR, PBS, BBC, and USA Today. U.S. News and World Report, Newsweek, Times of London. Because this is such a compelling topic that we all need much more education and information on. Hillary Cash, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, my first question to you is, what does internet addiction look like? Because, I mean, I've got a cell phone, I'm online, you know, I see people using the digital media every day. So what does it look like? How do we tell the difference between someone who's using it versus someone who's got a problem?
Well, I think it's most helpful to think in terms of someone who's addicted is going to be oriented so much toward their screens that interferes with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a kid in school, the time you want to spend in front of the screen doing non-school related activities is going to take precedence over the school related activities, and grades maybe are going to not be as good as they ought to be because of that. It'll take the place of sleep. It'll interfere with socializing. But think about the people you see just out when you're at a restaurant who are actually unable to go through a meal and talk to each other, but instead are distracted by their screens or on their screens constantly. So when screens are the most important thing in a person's life and it's interfering, that's when you're probably looking at someone who's really got a problem.
You know, I love the way you stated that. And what I'm understanding is, on the one hand, these digital devices and media can enhance the functionality of our lives, but there's got to be that dividing line there where they begin to disrupt our very life. That's what I hear you saying, that the enhancement versus when it's disrupting or taking away from.
That's right.
So what does that look like? When people come into your treatment center, what kind of disruption have they typically experienced?
We're treating young adult males, and most of them are between 18 and 25 years old. Most of them have failed out of college because of gaming and other internet activities, including pornography, looking at YouTube, you know, just spending time in front of a screen. And so, but when they come to us, they are usually profoundly sleep deprived.
Wow.
They are unfit. They haven't been exercising. They've been eating poorly. And so they are sort of malnourished, sleep deprived, very unfit, either overweight or underweight, usually, and feeling depressed, feeling anxious, socially isolated. Their friendships are mostly online friendships, not real-world friendships. They have poor relationships within their families because of conflict, because of the amount of time they're spending online and their failure in college or high school. These are the kinds of things that we are typically seeing when they arrive here.
You know, I want to highlight this because it's so easy for me in my age group to reflect back. And I've heard actual people say, well, you know, Bill Gates dropped out of college, you know, and he's mm-hmm. he's the founder of Microsoft, multi-billionaire, one of the richest people in the world. So why can't I focus on my digital empire? But Bill Gates was pretty darn productive after he dropped out of college. And what you're talking about are people who are not functioning, you know, poor sleep, poor eating, massive disruption in their relationships. So there really is a very distinct difference, isn't there?
Well, there is. And, you know, that Bill Gates example is one that I think is useful for us to talk about for a second. Bill Gates didn't actually grow up from the age of 5 playing video games. You know, he wasn't...
Go ahead, Hillary.
That era, and, you know, he was, you know, he became a programmer and he certainly was savvy, but he was not damaged by internet use. And because he wasn't damaged by it, he was able, you know, he was brilliant and he was able to channel his brilliance into being productive.
Right. And there we have it. So again, so parents out there, chemical dependency counselors, mental health counselors, you know, as you struggle with families and maybe your own family, and you look at people and you're trying to discern, is this person just heavily wired into the digital media, or does this person have a problem? Yeah. Are they being productive? Are they accomplishing something? And if they aren't, if their engagement is actually detracting from productivity and happiness, and I love, Hillary, how you brought up the online relationships, how you know, many of these people are not able to carry on conversations face-to-face, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the things we find is that because these guys have been spending most of their time online, they are... And they come in depressed and anxious. What's so fascinating to me is to see how when they come here, they have no access to digital technology at all for a minimum of 45 days. And what we see is that over the course of the weeks, when they are essentially going through withdrawal and coming and their brains are returning to normal function, for many of them, the anxiety and depression just evaporates.
Wow.
And so it's important for people to realize that too much time spent online actually creates many mental health issues.
I want us to really explore that because in the drug world, I want to draw a parallel. When we get right back after the breaks, I want to draw a parallel about the anxiety and depression before abstinence versus subsequent to abstinence or during abstinence. What a great point for us to pick up on after the break. Hey, folks, I'm glad that you're with us and our expert, Hillary Cash, an expert in internet addiction. We're going to continue this conversation right after the breaks. Thanks for being with us.
opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, my name is Jolene. I'm a certified chemical dependency counselor, and I've worked with adolescents, adults, and families. I have personally seen how Dr. Joe explains the brain chemistry of drug use to users and their families. As the drug user and the family gains the information presented, the transformation begins, and it is actually visible. The connection is made between abstinence and recovery. In Dr. Joe's video, Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit, you get the full 2 hours of brain chemistry, and more importantly, the menu-driven 10 to 15-minute review of each drug. This video is ideal for individual and family counseling, family intervention preparation, and college classes.
Order your copy of Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit at www.silvertopvideo.com and click the Video Products button.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Overcoming Addiction, Hope with Prevention, Intervention, and Treatment with Dr. Joe Terhar. To reach Dr. Joe or his guest today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email to drjoeradio@gmail.com. Now, back to Overcoming Addiction.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And those of you who take the trouble to give me a call at 866-472-5792 with a question or comment for our guest today, Hillary Cash, an expert in internet addiction, or if you email me at drjoeradio@gmail.com, one of you is going to score a free copy of The Neurobiology of Addiction, which is just incredible for families, for mental health counselors, social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists. It helps transfer that information in ways that motivate change. So with our special guest, Hillary Cash, we left off talking about anxiety and depression, delineating between people who are engaged, who utilize, and who function with digital media versus those people that have a real problem. And Hillary, you were talking about the anxiety and the depression. Tell us more about that.
What I see is that these young men that come to us for treatment are actually very, very isolated in their worlds. Mm-hmm. And they are also not functioning well. So there's this, first of all, shame that they're experiencing because, you know, they're not going to class, they're not doing their assignments, and they're starting to waste their parents' money and fail out of college. So that makes them depressed. But also just their isolation alone is enough that it can really create depression and anxiety. We are social animals. We are meant to have safe, loving relationships with one another, but those relationships actually need to be face-to-face relationships. And in order to stimulate something called limbic resonance, which is the release of neurochemicals in the limbic parts of the brain between those two individuals. And what we know from research is that the more time anyone spends online, the less time they're spending with other people face-to-face, the more depressed they become. So we need face-to-face time, and many of these guys don't actually have that face-to-face time.
Wow. The term limbic resonance, that makes a lot of sense, because it seems to me the real critical aspect of that is that there's an interplay, the interaction between two different people, where the limbic system, which is the emotional system, and there's a number of structures in our brain that comprise the limbic system. So that resonance between my limbic system in my brain, what I'm experiencing right now, relative to what you, Hillary Cash, are experiencing in your brain, and there's a resonance between us. And so that is then like disrupted, or it doesn't function as holistically or healthfully if a person's anchored just in the digital media.
Right. Perhaps wow. It's because we need to see and hear and smell and touch each other in order wow. for that to actually happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, about 15 years ago, I was reading articles about people who were having virtual love affairs, you know, no physical contact. They were virtual love affairs. They were with computers. Right. They were engaged in these romances and love affairs, which, you know, it's just so sad, because they're fictitious. They're virtual rather than the trials and tribulations of real life. Amazing, right. Amazing. Okay. I really appreciate how you talked about the anxiety and depression and shame, which I think is a lot of our listeners would not customarily associate with someone who's living a wonderful fantasy life, engaged in digital media. Can you give us a couple of cases, a couple of examples of what this looks like for people that you've worked with?
Well, an example would be a young man who had functioned quite well in high school. His parents exercised a lot of control over his time. He played video games, but, you know, he never could play them to the point of excluding everything else. And went off to college, he immediately got involved with the gamers in his dorm. And that first semester he squeaked by in the courses he'd signed up for, but thereafter he spent basically 3 years at the university signing up for courses and withdrawing from them, and he never told his parents. He created a fake transcript to show them, to pretend he was completing coursework. They paid for 3 years of college, which with nothing to show for it, essentially,
wow.
Until the university kicked him out, and the parents learned of what was actually going on. This is a young man, as you can easily imagine, whose sense of shame was profound.
Yeah.
He had wasted his parents' money. He'd been lying to them, deceiving them, and you know, he knew that his behavior was not in line with the morals that he had been raised with.
Mm-hmm.
So because he was out of sync with that, you know, that didn't feel right to him. And yet, because he was addicted, he kept right on with that behavior in spite of the discomfort and shame.
I really appreciate
on himself.
Yeah. Yep, I really appreciate how you've laid this out, because the audience, folks in the audience and myself, we can now look at, okay, so what about a college student, a young man who goes to college, and he's going to the casino, spending his money, and not attending classes, and then creates fake transcripts and grade reports to show his parents. This is an addiction. It's a gambling addiction. How is that different than the same age and appearance of a young man who goes off to college and is sitting around smoking marijuana day in and day out and hanging with his homies and his friends, not attending classes, not taking tests, not studying, flunks out repeatedly, creates a fake transcript and grade report for his parents? I mean, they're all the same. These are all addictive patterns in which, why are they addictive? Because the person has lost control, can no longer modulate his or her behavior. It causes severe disruption. It violates the very functionality of the individual's purpose in being in college. And of course, I love how you bring it back to the emotional. Then there's the incredible, profound shame. So I hope that's helpful for our listeners to see how, yeah, it, for some people, it is an addiction. It causes horrible disruption and harm.
Yeah. And if I can tell you of another example.
You bet.
This is not an example from our clients at Restart, but this is from my private practice work and the work I do outside. But I have worked over the years with many men who are sex addicts and with their partners. And think about the shame of that a man is carrying when he's married, but he's cheating on his wife over the internet. He's looking at porn constantly. Mm-hmm. That porn may be abhorrent to him on a moral level. There's some moral side of him that is that hates the fact that this man has now started, looking at bestiality, let's say, or mm-hmm. rape porn, or something like that that goes completely against, what he knows to be right. And yet he's doing it, and he's lying to his wife. He's doing it he's not showing up well as a husband, as a father. It's interfering with his efficiency and working well at work. Perhaps he's threatening, he knows that his job is kind of on the line, but yet he cannot stop his behavior. There are so many sources of shame in that whole pattern, and yet the more ashamed he feels, the more he escapes that shame in his addictive behavior.
I think this is so helpful for our listeners to hear because the porn example, I think is very clear about the shame. But it goes, as you're saying, it goes so much further beyond that in that the person's life, their very functionality is being disrupted. And so it's not an inconvenience. It's not just a little deficit here. This is a real a crisis of character, isn't it? I mean, the shame becomes very debilitating for people.
That's right. And of course, all of these things can lead to, as with all addictions, really ultimately can lead to extremely dire consequences. You know, people can lose their jobs. People can die. I was in China 5 years ago, and at that time there were 10 known cases of young men who had died at their computers. They were gamers because they wouldn't move. They wouldn't get up. They were glued to their screens for 50 hours or more, and their bodies just gave out. So, of course, that was 5 years ago, so plenty more cases since then. So this can lead to extreme debilitation, even death.
I want to share with our listeners a new term that I have not used much on this show, and that is process addictions. We all understand as a society that chemicals, substances, drugs can cause addiction. Well, we can have process addictions in which there's no active drug involved, but it's behavioral and relational patterns that nevertheless trigger the same pleasure center in the brain. For our listeners, I think an easy example is gambling. Gambling triggers the same dopamine release in the nucleus accumbens of the brain. And so we can have these debilitating and, in some cases, fatal patterns, behavior patterns. These are process addictions. They can cause death, disability, and incarceration if not addressed. So excellent examples, Hillary. One quick comment, and then we'll go to our next break, and that is when you're talking about this gentleman, lying and deceiving his parents about being in college, and that the parents had limited his access to digital media in before college. I want to make a quick note to all parents out there. It neither is effective to completely restrict nor to be completely permissive in these, because in either case, the child does not learn how to self-regulate, how to self-modulate. And that's the critical thing, which we're going to talk more about in the show today. This is fantastic. I can't tell you how happy I am to have Hillary Cash. We're going to take our break. We'll be right back with more information. We're going to talk more about treatment and, okay, what do we do? How do we help these people escape this sometimes fatal trap of internet addiction? We'll be right back.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, my name is Jolene. I'm a certified chemical dependency counselor, and I've worked with adolescents, adults, and families. I have personally seen how Dr. Joe explains the brain chemistry of drug use to users and their families. As the drug user and the family gains the information presented, the transformation begins, and it is actually visible. The connection is made between abstinence and recovery. In Dr. Joe's video, Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit, you get the full 2 hours of brain chemistry, and more importantly, the menu-driven 10 to 15-minute review of each drug. This video is ideal for individual and family counseling, family intervention preparation, and college classes.
Order your copy of Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit at www.silvertopvideo.com and click the Video Products button.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Overcoming Addiction, Hope with Prevention, Intervention, and Treatment with Dr. Joe Terhar. To reach Dr. Joe or his guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email to drjoeradio@gmail.com. Now, back to Overcoming Addiction.
Welcome back. It is just a thrill to have all of you listening today. And I just love the fact that we get to engage in these conversations and share information. Of course, it does remind me of how important it is that we be connected to each other. And one way that people are in not just connecting with each other, but helping destigmatize addiction, especially drug addiction, is with the Heroes in Recovery 6K races. Just imagine hundreds and thousands of people getting in, who have connections to recovery themselves or family members, getting together and doing a 6K walk or race. What a joyous celebration. Well, Foundations Recovery Network has put these together across the United States, and I am thrilled that I get to help promote these and help raise the awareness of the Heroes in Recovery 6K races. The next one is June 21st in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then July 19th in Roswell, Georgia. So those people in those locales, go to Heroes in Recovery online and find out more information. But those of you who don't, who are not in Charlotte and Roswell, go to Heroes in Recovery and find out what you need to do to bring one of these races to your locale. Because what a fantastic thing to celebrate, to help destigmatize addiction and celebrate recovery. So today we're talking with Hillary Cash, who is just one of the top experts in the United States, and therefore arguably the world, on internet addiction. We've had a fantastic conversation of how it's identified, how debilitating it becomes, there are reported cases of death, and how much it impairs people's capacity, not just the functionality of job and school, but also socially. And so what I want to do, Hillary, is have us talk just for a minute about what's our best guess? What's our best scientific understanding? What causes this? Why are some people afflicted by it and not others?
Well, I think there's not an easy answer to that. What I see happening is that the earlier someone is introduced to gaming and to the internet and to computer use, the more vulnerable they are going to be if that introduction is not extremely carefully limited by parents. And so that's one of the things. Once the brain starts getting wired for screens and that preference for screens starts taking over our natural inclinations to be social and to physically move and all of those things that kids naturally want to do, that nature can be trumped by the mesmerizing effect of screens. And so it's really important that parents understand that and don't allow that to happen with their children. But there are some mental health conditions which make people more vulnerable to this condition. So if you've got a kid who has already problems with attention, they have ADD, let's say, then they are going to be drawn to games in particular and to sort of surfing the web because their brains are already well wired for short attention span. They always want new stimulus, and so they're going to be more vulnerable. A child who is living in an environment of conflict, a painful family environment, might very well be drawn to screens as a way of escape. And the same for adults as well. If you are an adult who has a life that you don't like, you're in a miserable marriage or you're in a miserable job or you just have very low self-esteem for whatever reasons, you might be very drawn to the online world where, first of all, you can be distracted from your pain, but second of all, particularly if you're a gamer, you might have a source of self-esteem, which is that I'm really good at gaming, and I'm recognized within my gaming community as somebody with social standing and social status. I'm a big deal, and in the real world, I'm not a big deal, and my wife doesn't even like me, so...
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm drawn to that. So there are many reasons why people are drawn to the online world. And then the online world it's available, it's anonymous, it is very, very convenient, it's affordable. Of course, it triggers those pleasure centers of the brain. It's set up on what we call a variable ratio of reinforcement, which is the unpredictability of reward, and that's the same as what happens with gambling. So there are many, many reasons why people might be drawn in.
I want to highlight two points that you just made. One is the variable ratio. We have known in the field of psychology for many years that when someone is reinforced for a behavior on a variable schedule, you know, not every time, but especially an unpredictable pattern is rewarded, then that person's going to engage in that behavior more and more and more in order and in hopes of getting the reward. And that's to help our viewers understand, listeners visualize this. Let's look at the slot machine. Okay, the money doesn't come chinkling out every time. No, those machines are programmed scientifically to optimize the amount of money the person will put in on a variable ratio schedule to get just enough reward coming out to keep the optimum amount of money going in. And so certainly this has parallel to the digital world in which a person doesn't get rewarded every time they game online or have a virtual relationship online. And another parallel is, you know, in the gambling addiction world, we have two critical concepts. One is escape gamblers. Number two is action gamblers. And I'm sure, Hillary, you can see that in how your clients and patients have experienced their digital compulsions, both in action and escape.
Absolutely. And even in, I'd like the audience to really think about something as very simple as texting. That when you send out a text, you're waiting and anticipating a response to that text.
Wow.
And that anticipation itself is rewarding. And then when you get the text back, you don't really know what's going to come back. You're hoping it'll be good, and it might be good and reward you, or it might be disappointing and not reward you. But even at that level, what you're experiencing is that variable reward. Happening, that unpredictability of reward. And so many people, it is my opinion that many, many people are mildly addicted to their smartphones, not only for the texting that goes back and forth, but also for surfing the web and the things that we also associate with internet use. And one of the things I like about the development of in the field of addiction is the understanding that addictions can be mild to severe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think many people are mildly addicted to their smartphones. And one way you can test that is to just say to yourself, I'm going to put my smartphone away and not use it for a day. Give myself a break. Let my brain reset. And you'd be surprised what kind of withdrawal symptoms somebody might go through. But if they're just mildly addicted, then after a day, they actually feel calmer and comfortable with it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But if they're more severely addicted, that they might not experience that calmness and get through the withdrawal for several days or longer.
Yeah. Boy, great point. And a nice little self-test. Well, we've got a minute before the break. Begin to lead us into what is it like in that initial treatment experience at your center? You talked about 45 days without access. Tell us a little bit more about that before break.
Okay. Well, what we're doing is we're really focusing on getting them to get through their withdrawal period so that their brains come back to more normal function. And getting them to then, when that's kind of passed, to focus in on really making a plan of how they're going to go forward in their lives and reintegrate digital technology, but in a healthy, balanced way. And in this respect, it's different from drugs and alcohol, because you can stay away your whole life from drugs and alcohol, but you can't do that with digital technology. We all have to use it for our work, our schoolwork, and so forth. So, but that makes it more complicated. So how are they going to manage that moving forward? And then finally, we really focus on helping them get lots of exercise, good sleep, good nutrition, and build a whole array of life skills that they probably, when they arrive, don't have.
Fantastic. You know, I can see an immediate parallel to eating addictions. You can't just give up eating and be in recovery. You will die. And I think that's just not only practical, but realistic. You cannot just, it's not healthy to give up all digital and internet contact. So you have to learn how to manage it. And remember me making the point earlier about how parents, you don't want to either completely restrict nor to be laissez-faire and be completely tolerant of your child's digital engagement, because then the child is not learning how to utilize it in healthy ways. So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about the nuts and bolts of treatment. What does it look like? And how do you help people learn to write this plan and to go through the emotions? What kind of emotional process do you see as people struggle with abstinence? So we'll be right back with Hillary Cash after the break.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, a loved one, or someone you know living with a traumatic brain injury? For the latest cutting-edge information and services, tune in to Brain Train with host Gail Taylor. Our program will showcase the different services available for cognitive rehabilitation and behavior therapy, as well as talk with the professionals, families, and recipients of these services to keep you up to date on the latest developments. Brain Train can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Hi, my name is Jolene. I'm a certified chemical dependency counselor, and I've worked with adolescents, adults, and families. I have personally seen how Dr. Joe explains the brain chemistry of drug use to users and their families. As the drug user and the family gains the information presented, the transformation begins, and it is actually visible. The connection is made between abstinence and recovery. In Dr. Joe's video, Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit, you get the full 2 hours of brain chemistry, and more importantly, the menu-driven 10 to 15-minute review of each drug. This video is ideal for individual and family counseling, family intervention preparation, and college classes.
Order your copy of Why People Use Drugs and How to Help Them Quit at www.silvertopvideo.com and click the Video Products button.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Overcoming Addiction, Hope with Prevention, Intervention, and Treatment with Dr. Joe Terhar. To reach Dr. Joe or his guest today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send us an email to drjoeradio@gmail.com. Now, back to Overcoming Addiction.
Welcome back. It's just a pleasure to have you all. And don't forget our colleague in the media world, Recovery View, an online journal of addiction, www.recoveryview.com. And you can go and read an abundance of fantastic articles written by really leaders in the United States on all aspects of addiction. So don't miss Recovery View. We've been talking with Hillary Cash, an international expert, one of the world's leaders in internet addiction. Thank goodness she has been working on this for a number of years, helping us raise our awareness. But not only that, she's been a leader in effectively treating addiction. She pointed out how there's mild cases and severe cases. She spoke about how initially in they support their patient in experiencing 45 days of abstinence. You've got to let the brain reset, and then how you've got to have help the individual develop a plan to reintegrate in healthy, managed ways digital media and appliances into one's own life. So Hillary, tell us more about the treatment process. What does it look like when people are in treatment with you?
Well, as I was mentioning, absolute pillar, there are several pillars that kind of really support them going through this process. And one is the abstinence. Mm-hmm. Another is developing a good plan, a blueprint for moving forward. A third is developing skills that they lack. So those skills, we teach them how to meditate and be mindful,
mm-hmm.
as a way of managing emotions. We teach them how to think,
more constructively about their situations and themselves as a way to escape from addictive thinking. We teach them very concrete life skills, how to cook, how to shop for food, how to do their laundry, make their beds, clean toilets, vacuum a living room, look after animals. We teach them, and we have a strong emphasis on exercise as well. You know, these are young men who, for the most part, have not been exercising. And these young men have, you know, there's testosterone circulating in their systems. That testosterone, if allowed its sort of natural expression, it leads them to want to be physically active, build muscle, you know, feel physically competent, and so they tend to love the CrossFit training that they do. They start gaining weight, gaining muscle, or losing losing weight, losing fat,
mm-hmm. Right.
And they love that aspect of the program. We have we also expose them to 12-step work. So we have developed our own 12-step program called Internet and Technology Addicts Anonymous, ITAA. And they, on Wednesdays the day when we have an ITAA meeting here for them, we also take them to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meetings in the community, because many of them have what we would call an intimacy disorder. They don't, for the most part, date. They've been looking at porn. They really don't have a clue about how to create and maintain healthy, intimate relationships. So SLAA addresses that. And we take them to one AA meeting a week. Again, the idea here is that they need ongoing support, and AA meetings, no matter where you are, almost in the world, you can find an AA meeting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep, incredible.
And then also they have access to counseling. We have counselors from the community who come and are available for individual sessions. We involve the family. We have the family initially write a cost letter to them about how their behavior has impacted, you know, mom and dad and brothers and sisters. We have them write in response an empathy letter to them. The family is asked to write a boundary letter. The family is working with a parent coach throughout the time that their adult child is with us, so that the parents can get really clear on how to stop enabling their child's behavior.
Right.
And then the family is invited to come if they want for a family workshop toward the end of the stay. And we also will use medication if that's appropriate. So we work with psychiatrists in the community, and they can go for evaluation if that seems appropriate.
Wow. Listeners, did you hear how holistic that was? From nutrition to exercise to family relationships to new, healthier social relationships, networking, connectivity, mindfulness. I want to highlight one thing you said, Hillary, and I want the listeners to really get to picture this. This morning as I was getting set up for the show, it's beautiful, beautiful sunny here in Spokane, and there was just this bright, bright sun coming through the window, and it shone on the table and on my face. And it was just so enjoyable to just feel that spring warmth. Well, people suffering addictions from opioids to cannabis to internet to gambling, they have lost the serotonin capacity. Their serotonin has been depleted. They can't just sit and relax and enjoy comfortable, natural moments of homeostasis, because their brain chemistry is not in homeostasis capacity. So I just really appreciate you bringing that up. So those of you who have someone in your life that is ill at ease, take a closer look. Take a closer look. And are they using the internet to enhance their lives and enhance functionality, or is, in fact, the internet actually a decrement? It's taking away from their functionality. Again, the person dropping out of being thrown failing college versus Bill Gates, who dropped out of college in order to start the most successful business in the world. So excellent, excellent points. Tell us a little bit more, Hillary. How do you get to facilitate contact with the family and these changes and the enabling? What does that look like for your folks?
Well, we want the families to do some reading. There are some very good books out there, which I will mention to your audience. There's one called Eye Disorder, with a small letter I, Eye Disorder, which is really talking about how there's almost a personality disorder that develops in young men who've been spending too much time in front of a screen. Hooked on Games, written by a gamer who is, you know, in recovery. There's several books written by gamers that are excellent, and that's one of them. Boys Adrift by Leonard Sachs. These are all books that we encourage not only the young men who are here to read, but their parents to read as well, so that the parents have a much better understanding of what's actually going on. And then we, you know, we stay in touch with the parents throughout the stay of their child here, but we don't want to, you know, many of these families have been overly involved, they're overly controlling, and these are young men. They need to, and these young men tend to be highly dependent, and we are encouraging them to become independent. And so we have to work with the families to maybe be less involved and accept that their kids have to make their own choices here, but the parents can make some of their own choices. So,
yeah.
For instance,
the fantastic.
Parents might say, we're out of time.
Yep. I love that we get to leave it on the emphasis with the family. And I'm very glad to hear that you're facilitating those changes, those relational changes between your clients and the families. Folks, it's been just an incredible pleasure to have Hillary Cash from Restart in the greater Seattle area talking to us about internet addiction and what great information that she's provided. I want to thank Hillary just as well as I want to thank Recovery View Magazine, Las Vegas Recovery, and of course, Voice America, on which we broadcast. Scott Duffy and my assistant, Jen Schwartz. We'll see you next week for another very compelling show.
Thank you again for listening to Overcoming Addiction. Please join Dr. Joe again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a good week.